Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John and I'm trying something a little bit different. My goal today is to bring you something we're going to call our mini deck primers. I'm going to try to use this time frame to summarize a decklist primer for one of the decks that I play. If you're not familiar with deck primers, this is a concept that has been born out of the CEDH scene, with the idea being that once you have read through a primer, you should have the information you need to pick up and play a deck. Most of the necessary aspects of a decklist primer that you see in the CEDH scene will include a brief introduction on the deck, strengths and weaknesses, and arguments for why you should play this deck, as well as a comprehensive section on strategy and gameplay, as well as paths to winning the game. I have included a full primer linked in the comments down below, but my goal right now is to try to tell you why you should be playing Scrappy Cat. Scrappy Cat is a deck that I have built around God Eternal Oketra. It is built to be a casual deck. Casual decks trend towards variety of gameplay experiences and include a lot of spicier cards, rarely including tutors. Precons tend to fit right into this quadrant, which often utilize lands which enter the battlefield tapped, or include a high mana curve to showcase new spicy cards included in the deck. Scrappy Cat also leans more towards value, a value deck prioritizing resource advantage over speed, optimizing for the long game. A value deck seeks to disrupt more focused opponents while creating and exploiting a resource imbalance to win the game. And this deck is going to try to leverage God Eternal Oketra herself from the command zone as a value piece to consistently affect the board state with 4/4s and doubling as a payoff for Scrap Trawler loops later in the game. Our commander is God Eternal Oketra, 3 and white-white for a legendary creature zombie god, a 3/6 with double strike. Whenever you cast a creature spell, create a 4/4 black zombie warrior creature token with vigilance. And when God Eternal Oketra dies or is put into exile from the battlefield, you may put it into its owner's library, third from the top. Many God Eternal Oketra decks lean into flicker effects to build an insurmountable army of 4/4s, but our Scrappy Cat deck builds for longer games that can grind value out of the graveyard, an often overlooked aspect of Mono White's share of the color pie. Our deck's strengths include our commander being extremely reliable, even by the standards of the format of commander, as she is just always a turn or two away from being recast if she's ever taken down, whether or not you top deck the lands that you're looking for. It also leans heavily into graveyard themes in mono white, and this can catch many people by surprise, while also playing into wife's strengths by allowing you to break symmetry even more on Wrath of God type effects, and making a mono-white go-wide token deck surprisingly resilient to the most common forms of interaction it will come up against. Mono-white gives us all the core pieces we need to assemble multiple Scrap Trawler loops, and our commander is good even if these loops never really come together. That being said, the deck does still have some weaknesses. This is still a mono-white value deck, and it has to get its card draw and ramp wherever it can get it. We can gain virtual card advantage off of cards like Scrap Trawler and other graveyard getter backers, but this is still definitely more difficult than it would be for other colors. Also being in mono-white, this deck is not able to interact directly with the stack. The few pieces of mono-white interaction with the stack that have been printed, we just don't have the slots necessary to be able to both have the redundant pieces we need to establish our game plan, while also being able to devote slots to interact with the stack. Compared to more optimized or even CEDH-level decks like Teshar Ancestor's Apostle, Oketra trades synergy in the command zone for value, but that value doesn't translate into much additional consistency. Finally, comboing off with Oketra generally means that we have a board full of 4/4s who are summoning sick. Then we pass the turn and hope nobody has interaction. While Oketra is very good at rebuilding after a Wrath, it still has the classic vulnerability that go-wide decks will have, where if there is a scary board state, it can still be answered with commonly played spells, even if the deck can claw its way back to that state fairly quickly. Strategy and gameplay. There are a number of unique themes that make this deck particularly interesting and can lead to some very cool games. Mono White Artifacts Matter is a theme that really is only shared in a few other corners, primarily Teshar Ancestor's Apostle, although there are some surface-level similarities to decks like SRAM Senior Edificer. White's suite of recursion meshes nicely with the artifact recursion for a surprisingly resilient build, which is only further improved by Oketra herself always being just one or two draws away from coming back at a cost of 3 white-white. Our main goal is to assemble a loop of two or more of our graveyard getter backers, a sac outlet, and a cost reducer, so that we can create an endless loop of our artifact creatures entering the battlefield to create infinite zombie warriors off of Oketra. Being in mono white, our options to easily assemble this combination of cards comes down primarily to card density, so we're running as many redundant effects as possible. Among our graveyard getter backers, we're going to include Scrap Trawler, Mirror Retriever, Junk Diver, as well as less commonly seen cards such as Teshar, Ancestor's Apostle, Workshop Assistant, and Sanctum Gargoyle. What makes Oketra unique is that, unlike similar decks, our payoff for our loop is in the command zone, and 4/4 zombie warriors are nothing to sneeze at. Looping a finite number of times, such as if we lack a cost reducer, still means that we're putting a significant number of meaningful bodies onto the battlefield, which we can then use to pressure life totals. Playing out our combo pieces of our getter backers early is relatively low risk, since it is so easy for the deck to just get them back out of the graveyard, into the hand, or into play. Further, they still trigger Oketra to make 4/4s, even when you just cast them with no way to loop them. In terms of meaningful interaction and decision points with the deck, white is supposed to be the color of answers. And while this may be debatable in recent sets, we do have a reasonable suite of interaction to fall back on. Since Oketra is leaning towards value, we want to be able to pump the brakes on more focused decks with both single target removal and white's suite of efficient sweepers. Unlike other go-wide decks, Oketra has a fairly easy time rebuilding and grinding value out of the graveyard, so this deck really shouldn't be afraid to slam down a board wipe when the pilot is confident that he or she can rebuild more quickly against opponents who may have already overcommitted to the board. We're running powerful mass answers from Austere Command to Cleansing Nova to Dusk/Dawn to Undo Inversion to Tragic Arrogance to Winds of Abandon. Our combo is surprisingly resilient to most stacks-based form of interaction. While we lose out some value from Torpor Orb effects, it doesn't stop Oketra or our getter backers. Most of our getter backers are going to trigger on their own death or the death of another creature, while Oketra is going to trigger off of a cast trigger. Rest in Peace and similar graveyard denial effects can impede our combo, but we only ever really need to worry about answering them if the combo seems like it's a possibility in the near future. Most of our interaction should be used to control the faster decks of the table, punishing opponents who overextend while leaning into Oketra's ability to rebuild more rapidly. Throwing down one of our early sweepers or one of our pinpoint removal spells, such as the classic Swords to Plowshares, a special piece of tech in Dispatch, a 1-white mana card that taps target creature, or if you control 3 artifacts and thus have Metalcraft, exile target creature at instant speed, something that is not too hard for our deck to do, as well as a few cards that synergize well with our getter backers, such as Dispeller's Capsule, a single white mana for an artifact where you can pay 2, a white, and tap, sacrificing Dispeller's Capsule to destroy target artifact or enchantment. We're also making use of some of the modal double-faced cards from Zendikar Rising, including Kabira Takedown, another single target removal spell at a slightly more expensive 1 and a white, an instant which deals damage equal to the number of creatures you control to target creature or planeswalker. We're running it because on the backside we have a land that enters the battlefield tapped. Sure, that's a downside, but it still taps for white mana. This is going to increase the number of opening hands where we have a keepable number of lands, and it is going to decrease the number of late-game top decks that are ruined by seeing a land when we really needed was a piece of interaction. Our early game plan relies primarily on having a clear path to getting Oketra out, and a clear way to keep our hand stocked. That usually means we're looking to ideally ramp by turns 2 and 3, and have a source of card draw in play at a similar time frame. Our definition of an engine in mono-white is pretty liberal, but at least we can take advantage of pay-to-draw effects like Endless Atlas and War Room. We're also happy to see the Monarch come up on cards like Palace Jailer or Court of Grace, which can incidentally get us what we want, a piece of removal or additional tokens, while also giving us that once-per-turn extra card draw if we can hold on to the Monarch. Now, once we have our mana handled and once we have a steady stream of cards coming in, we want to get Oketra online so we can start profiting from our creature casts. Oketra marks when our deck is moving from setup to applying pressure. Don't hesitate to use Oketra to swing in at an opponent whose life total you can pressure. And those 4/4 zombie warrior creature tokens having vigilance certainly makes them much more attractive to use as attackers. In general, we're very happy to trade our creatures for theirs, because ours are much more easily replaceable than most of our opponents will be. Even if an attack costs you all of your zombie warrior creature tokens, this is generally worth it if it is also costing opponents their real creature cards, because that pressure you put them under allows you to generate a form of virtual card advantage. Oketra usually wins through a steady pressure as opposed to always comboing off, and our tokens are both powerful and endlessly replaceable. We'll leave mana open to threaten interaction, or if we're running low on gas and need to fuel back up with one of our draw effects around mid-game like this, but we also don't mind wiping the board and getting things reset again, particularly if we have a plan in hand or on board to help rebuild. Scrap Trawler is the key card for this. Scrap Trawler is 3 mana for a 3-2 artifact creature construct. Whenever Scrap Trawler or another artifact you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, return to your hand target artifact card in your graveyard with a lesser converted mana cost. I have made no secret of my love of this card, and Oketra was built to be a deck to be able to really take advantage of Scrap Trawler. Particularly when we have cast a board wipe, Scrap Trawler can lead to a stack of triggers to put artifact creatures back into our hands after a board wipe, allowing us to rebuild extremely quickly. Winning the game. If a steady stream of attacks with 4/4s and a few evasive creatures hasn't been enough to force us into the late game, Oketra shifts gears late game when it can start recurring artifact creatures and using an engine like Scrap Trawler. We don't necessarily need to go infinite with our loops. Even if just using our mana for turn to recur an artifact creature 3-4 times, that means putting 12 to 16 power worth of tokens onto the battlefield, and that represents a serious chunk of someone's life total. In general, we want to pressure life totals during combat and then rebuild in the post-combat main phase. If we are able to combo off because we've managed to reduce the cost of one or more of our graveyard getter backers to zero, or if we're trying to establish that loop, we go for broke. Yes, being in mono white with no real haste enablers means that when we go for it, we're passing into potential board wipes. But this being a deck that was meant for more casual tables, this is one of the limitations which I built into the deck. If you'd like to get around this, adding a card such as Crashing Drawbridge to your deck can give your tokens haste in mono white and give you a way to combo off slightly more reliably. We're generally looking for any two of our graveyard getter backers, a cost reducer, and a sacrifice outlet. Ashnod's Altar and Krark Clan Ironworks, both of which are artifacts costing 3 mana and 4 mana respectively, are our ideal sac outlets, since they also act as a virtual cost reducer. Each one of them allows you to sacrifice one of your artifact creatures for 2 generic mana, which we can then use to recast one of our getter backers. We don't really have any good way to tutor these up apart from Enlightened Tutor, a 1 white mana instant which allows us to look for a enchantment or an artifact from our library and put it on top of our library. Our secondary win conditions are fairly limited. If the beatdown plan and the loops are not coming together, Oketra as a casual deck is pretty much just down to creature beats as the only real way to win the game. The deck does run Altar of Dementia, a 3-mana artifact which reads sacrifice a creature, target player puts the number of cards equal to the sacrificed creature's power from the top of his or her library into his or her graveyard. We included this primarily because it is yet another free sac outlet for our artifact creatures, which also provides a form of virtual card advantage when you've got your getter backers online and you just want to see more targets to recur them with. This does open the opportunity where if we can get a loop going, we can mill out all of our opponents, pass the turn to opponents with empty libraries, and watch each of them lose the game during their draw step. If all else fails, our best option beyond these is to slap a piece of equipment like Sword of the Animist and Skullclap on Oketra to get her power to 5, and with her double strike, that's at least a reasonable clock to start beating in with commander damage, particularly on a commander who just won't stay dead. So there you have it. That's the bird's eye view of my Scrappy Cat deck. God Eternal Oketra is a lot of fun to play in this artifact shell. If you're interested in learning more about it, I've posted a link to the primer in the comments down below. And my goal over the next few weeks is to record a primer like this for each of my decks. Be sure to add us on Twitter, leave a comment on YouTube, or send us an email if you have any feedback or suggestions on how I can improve this process. We'll be back again next week for a full-length audio episode, so until then, I'm John, this is Gemstone Mine, take care. You can reach the crew from Gemstone Mine on Twitter at GemstoneMineMTG or send us an email at GemstoneMinePodcast@gmail.com. On YouTube, we're Gemstone Mine Podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and hit the notification bell.